podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Wim Formby, in the lovely Formby Hall here, speaks to Stephen Gerrard about the re-emergence, I would say, of Curtis Jones. He's playing very well at the moment. You had a key part in his development. So thanks so much, first of all, for coming down and having a chat. We really appreciate it.
Listen, pleasure. I'd say a small part in his development rather than a key part. A lot of coaches before me, I'd played the key part in terms of from a young boy when he's come into the academy and you know, preparing them for professional football. So there's a lot of coaches that have done a lot of hard work, you know, led by Alex Inglethorpe. But yeah, to have the chance to work with Curtis for the 18 months when I was in the academy was special for me, because as a coach, that is the buzz, working with talents and trying to help them in any way you can to prepare them for the real game. And I say the real game because it changes when you become professional.
Yeah.
Football's fun until it becomes professional, and it's for real, and it's your occupation, and you know everyone knows how hard it is to stay at the top. So it was important that Curtis developed in the best way he can to prepare himself for that.
To go all the way back then, do you remember the first time he was on your radar? Was it when you got a job at the academy when you were coaching, or were you a bit aware of him before that?
Well, I got support from my own personal development as a coach. Curtis would have been around 13, 14. He'd have been in Tom Culshaw's group at the time. And he was a standout in terms of technical ability, but his body shape was different than it is now. He had a real growth spurt around 14, 15. He was more small and carrying a bit of, you know, child weight, as you do, as a lot of people do. And then he went pretty tall and lean pretty quickly, and I think that helped him a lot. So I was aware of Curtis when he was around 13, 14, and I was going in to do my B licence and my A licence, and I was taking certain sessions. That's when I first come across him.
And then you're working with him. You mentioned them 18 months there. What I remember the most was the UEFA Youth League, and I used to go and watch those games. And, you know, there's an exciting one. Unfortunately, ended with a penalty defeat at City, but it was an exciting team, and he was a key part of that. What are your sort of memories from that and his role in that team? Because it felt like you sort of, you know, was built it through him from an attacking sense.
Yeah, I sat down with Alex Inglethorpe when I come back from America, and he, you know, him and Jürgen were really keen for me to take the under-18 group. For the reason being is I was allowed to have my own formation, my own tactics. There was no interference from the first team in terms of taking players.
Did you get up to 23s?
So I had Curtis and Curtis's group for this 18 months, and part of it was the under-18s, but the under-19s in the Champions League. And Alex made it clear from the first conversation that Curtis was one of the key players in that group. So when you have a key player in a group at the academy, it's about building sessions around certain individuals. Not everyone makes it to the top, unfortunately. Obviously, we try and prepare them all for careers in the game, but the standout players in each group, and Curtis was the standout. Why? Because he was the best technically. Two, because he was local. Three, because he had the right mentality. He wanted to win. He was a competitor. Okay, he was a little bit raw in certain areas, but the plan with Curtis from an individual point of view was to build sessions around Curtis and keep challenging him as much as we could on a daily basis. So every session we planned, every monthly schedule we'd done, the game schedule, what did he need from an individual point of view? So away from the group, what certain parts of his game did we as a staff need to work on with him? So it was very detailed around his individual plan. Of course, it's about the team once you eventually get to the first team. But when you're coming through the academy, it's about what do the individuals need? How can we make them best prepared to move them down the conveyor belt for Jürgen? That was the plan. But what I would say with Curtis is he loved playing football. He always wanted the ball at his feet. He'd never hide on a football pitch. Always wanted to be in game situations where he can compete and take the duel on with an individual. They're key traits to play for Liverpool. You have to win. You have to be available for the ball in any situation, in any area of the pitch. You have to back yourself and be confident because you're playing for a demanding crowd. Curtis had these traits from a young age, 16, 17. And as the coach on the side, obviously I'm interested in individual players and move them on the conveyor belt, but I also want to win from a personal point of view. and you think, who's representing me on that football pitch? And I used to always feel a connection with Curtis that he was playing for me as well. And that's important as a coach.
It's really interesting there, speaking, you know, hearing you talk about him, like, who's playing for me, because there is similarities in your game. There's obviously differences as well. He's his own fella, but did you see him almost as a special project, not just because of his talent, and you mentioned there that he was identified as someone who could make it at the top, but also we think, well, I see a bit of me in him in the position he plays, but also the fact that you're both from the area as well.
Yeah, I think what I've seen in Curtis that is quite similar to myself is obviously being a local boy. He understood what Liverpool Football Club's about. He understood what the fans wanted and what you needed to play for Liverpool in terms of, you know, you had to be up for it, you had to be all in, you had to max out every game. That's where the similarities were. I could see the local, the rawness in him, the council estate type mentality. Curtis is more talented than me in terms of technical, in terms of dribbling ability, in terms of manipulating the ball, close control. He's a different type of player to me than that. I was more of a runner, a passer, more of a burster, if you like, but passing around people and running and using my strength as a runner. Curtis is more of an individual, a soloist, if you like. So that's where the differences were. But in terms of trying to put myself back into, it was called the A team and the B team back then, but 18s and 19 level of football, I could see the determination and the hunger and the confidence of getting to the first team in Curtis, and that's where we were quite similar.
What about the tough times then as well? I mentioned that Man City game, he misses a penalty on that, and that, unfortunately, I'm sure there was other times where he needed, you know, a bit of an arm around the shoulder, you know. What conversations do you have with him around then? Because it...
Well, look, in football, people from the outside that are maybe not, or don't understand as much as certain people in football, is sometimes setbacks and a little bit of trauma in your development can actually help you and become a better player, a better person, a better human being. So the conversation around that incident and missing a penalty, that's not important. It is for me because I, you know, I want to go on, and I'm sure it was for Curtis because he wants to win the game. But when you're coaching around the academy, it's about the bigger picture. It's not about just missing a penalty or going out of a competition. It's more like chatting to Curtis around it. Okay, how does it feel? Blah, blah, blah. What could you have done different? You know, how are you going to bounce back? How long is it going to affect you for? It's conversations around, like, things like this happen in football. People give the ball away. People make mistakes. People have bad games. We're human beings. It's more about understanding, well, that's happened. How are you going to bounce back? How are you going to show everyone, you know, next session? You're going to carry it. You know, it's conversations around that type of stuff.
Yeah. When I was getting ready for this, I asked Dan in our office to find some interviews of Curtis talking about you, and he found a really good one where he talked about how much you helped him, and he said it wasn't necessarily all about the technical sides of his game, it was more, he said he called it the other side of the game, and when he went on he talked about being, you know, 100% committed to every aspect of being a footballer. And I guess that goes back to what you were saying before about it goes from being fun to your work, and you need to approach it differently. And that's not just when you're on the training pitch, I guess, or in a game, but your whole life.
At Liverpool Football Club, you have to be ready for every day. It's not just the games. It's every single day, because every time you're either training or you're in that building, you're preparing for a game. So you can't just turn it on a Saturday at 2:59 and think, you know, I'm fine. It's about what, from the Monday, what do I need to do to put myself in the best physical, mental and condition to be at my best. That was my mentality. How can I gain something every single day to be ready for the next game? And Curtis, I couldn't, as a coach, change Curtis technically, because coaches from the age of 6-7, they've done all the drills with Curtis, and Curtis has done all the repetitions, you know, to get out of tricky situations and the technical ability. I maybe could have changed his technical ability a little tiny bit, but where I could help these kids is, I'd played 710 games for Liverpool domestically, I'd played 100 times for England, and there's a lot of things around being a professional footballer. There's a lot of things around the schedule and the game and what the game demands of you, where I could help these kids in terms of having your body in the best condition. What are you doing in terms of your nutrition and your hydration. What are you doing in terms of your rest? You know, because if you play for Liverpool and Liverpool are where they should be, you're playing football every 3-4 days across a season and you're hoping to be doing it for 15 years. So there's no, you can't cut any corners. You can, you know, you can not be prepared every single day, and it's being ready every day, not every once a week. That's where you can help these kids.
Yeah.
That side of the game.
So then on to the next step, and the next step that Curtis wants to make, you know, he's broke through. Like you said, he's been the standout performer, but then it is a jump to the first team, and not just that, there's players there who've got the shirts. How tough is that to be patient, really? Because I think in our heads, like, you burst through as this superstar and you were 18 playing for England and everything, but actually when you look back at, you know, the early parts of your career, I'm sure there was times where, you know, sat in there, and it must be hard because you're desperate to show the manager what you can do, but you've got to wait.
I think there was a transitional period with Curtis, with Jürgen and the staff around Jürgen and the academy, because the academy felt he was ready, you know, to make the jump. I think the first team knew they had a talent, but wasn't sure he was totally ready to be playing a big part. The competition was fierce around the time Curtis was going to come in.
Yeah.
You know, we'd made some real big signings in the midfield. We had the most dangerous front line in the game. And the transition I'm talking about is Curtis felt he was more than ready. The academy felt he was ready. And the first team were probably thinking, yeah, he's ready to come and be a part of it, but also to drop in and out. And that's where you have got to be patient, because Curtis is like, I know Curtis is thinking, I'm better than the players that are playing. When I'm training, I'm doing as good as them, and blah, blah. And that's him backing himself. And that's what I love about Curtis. But it doesn't happen just like that. You've got to be patient. You've got to win Jürgen over. You've got to win Pep Linders over. You've got to win them over constantly every single day. You've got to win Jordan Henderson over and James Milner over, because then they start talking about it to the staff. This player's good, he deserves to be with us, and that's how you get in the group. And then you've got to fight every day to stay in the group. That's what Curtis needed to understand during this period. But in his mind, he's thinking, I want to be playing every single week, which is a great thing, which you need to have to be a consistent performer at Liverpool. But you've got to be patient, because you're a youngster, you're inexperienced, and the competition around you that are already in the group are probably further ahead than you at that time.
For those who don't follow the academy, maybe the first time they really saw what he was about was the Merseyside derby, where he scores the winning goal. Mm. Now, I've seen you celebrate goals for Liverpool. You know,
I was off the couch when that, but it didn't surprise me, because every time Curtis played for me against Everton and Manchester United, he was man of the match in every single game. Which tells me that he's got it, what you need to play for Liverpool. Because they're the two most important games. I don't care what anyone says. If you're a local boy, you have to be the best player against Everton and Manchester United. It should be in your DNA.
And that game as well, it was a very young team, and he seemed to take responsibility on himself, even at that very young age, to go, no, I'm going to be the match winner.
Yeah, and that's got to be Curtis's mentality every game now. Especially right now where we are, he's played enough now, he's got enough experience, he needs to stay in this 11 now, he needs to take the challenge on in pre-season, because we're going to sign players.
Yeah.
And he needs to make it personal in pre-season that no one's taking his shirt. He's got the shirt at the moment, and rightly so. His form's really good, he's playing with confidence, he's playing with belief, he's really taking games, you know, and having an effect and an influence on them. He's got to stay like that now consistently if he wants to stay in this team. Because Jürgen will challenge him by bringing new players in. Liverpool are always going to bring good players in. So that's the thing, what I'm saying daily. You've got to prove that you deserve that shirt on a consistent basis.
Oh, is that then when the manager's bringing players in? Because you had that, you know, Hulé loved the midfielder, didn't he? He was always sort of buying one of them. You look at Rafa comes in straight away, he's getting Xabi Alonso. Mm. Is that tough? Does that go into your insecurities?
No, it's not tough, because you want to play with the best players you can play with, because they'll give you a better chance of being successful as a group, and it's all about the team. But personally, in your own time, it's personal, because they want your shirts. The subs that are not playing, they want to play instead of you. So on a daily basis, I used to make it personal with my own teammates to make sure that I was the best. No one out-trained me, no one outperformed me on a daily basis. Because then I could look at a manager in the eye and say, no, I deserve to play in this team. Because I've shown you every single day, or the majority of the days, that I've been the best player. That's the mentality you need at Liverpool. Otherwise, you don't last long or you don't play enough.
And like you said, he wouldn't have got as even as far as he have if he didn't have the mentality that he's going to be better.
I know he's got that. You don't have to. And I remember having a conversation with Jürgen. We were talking about Curtis and he was like, yeah, you know, there's a few little things that we need to improve in a few areas and all that. I said, yeah, I get that. And obviously you're seeing him a lot more than me because he was spending more time at Melwood at the time. But I said to Jürgen, stay with this kid. You know, whatever you're thinking, keep him and stay with him because he won't let you down. Once you get him right and you've fixed your few little things that you need to fix, he won't let you down and he'll be there for you. And I think he's shown Jürgen that now.
Injuries as well has been something that's been a problem for him. There was a few problems for you when you were sort of breaking through. That must be so frustrating because you feel like you're just getting going, and then something happens.
It's the worst feeling being a footballer, being in a treatment room where you can't be out training, you can't have an influence on the game and help the team and be there for the supporters. It's lonely. It's a mental situation that you have to deal with. But I think A lot of youngsters have these issues in different areas of the body, and I think it's your body adapting to the speed, the tempo, the physicality of the Premier League. This is the fastest, most demanding, most pressurised league in the world, and I think your body, at times, it'll pack in, you know, and you'll get these issues and blah, blah. You've got to stay mentally strong when you know, you're experiencing these little setbacks because they don't last forever, and it's about doing whatever you can to get back as quick as you can in the safest possible way. But they're the parts of my career that I didn't enjoy. Being out, injured, not being able to help, missing big games. It's horrible. And if you haven't played the game, only really footballers can explain the situation. It's a stomach churner. It's a horrible feeling.
But it's especially so when you feel like you're just getting momentum.
Yeah, because when you're young, you start thinking, oh, am I going to get forgotten about? Am I ever going to win my place back? Am I going to get back to the form I had? Is my body, you know, because you get that paranoia of like, how long am I going to be out? Can the physios get me ready? What is the problem? You know, is it worse? You have all these thoughts and you're in the treatment room on your own and the lads are out having fun. The best feeling in the world is representing your club as a homegrown boy and being out there in front of the fans. That's the best feeling in the world. When that's took away from you, that's like taking sweets off a kid. It's not a good feeling. It's not good.
In terms of watching him now, then we'll fast forward to this season. You know, he has to be patient because of the injuries and a couple of other, you know, other things as well. There's other midfielders. He gets in the team at a difficult time, but he's grabbed that shirt like you were talking about before. When you're watching him week by week now, and he seems to be getting better. What do you see in terms of how he's developed as a footballer from when you worked with him, I guess?
I think he's got himself physically ready. One of Curtis's strengths that people don't talk about a lot is a very fit boy. His profile, he's 6'1". He's got a fantastic profile. He can run, he can get about the pitch. When Curtis is physically and mentally in the right place, you don't have to worry about the technical ability because you don't lose the technical ability. Mm. Yeah, you don't lose the talent. But to make the talent flourish and affect games, he needs to be in the best physical and mental condition. And when I've watched him over the last 10, 12 games or however long he's been in the team, I see the belief and the confidence, but I see the physicality. His running's there. He's regaining the balls. He's emptying. He's maxing out for the team. When you get Curtis in that place, you've got the real Curtis Jones.
And having manager, coach and staff who believe in him is just so important as well. You had that, you know, when Julio comes
through. You have to earn that.
Yeah.
You have to earn that. When you move from the academy and you become part of the first team for real and you're there on a daily basis, you have to earn the right to stay there. You have to earn the right to be in the manager's thinking when he's picking teams or whether it be from the bench. Curtis will be having a daily challenge of winning the first staff over because you can never ever think I've got them now, I'm here to stay and blah blah. That's when you can become a little bit complacent. And if I can give Curtis one bit of advice, and I've spoken to him about this, is you need to continue to earn the right to be a Liverpool first team player. Keep winning Jürgen Klopp and Pep Linders over on a daily basis. That's how he'll stay around this team.
Do you still speak to him a little bit then? Only
when I see him. He knows I'd be there for them at a drop of a hat. That goes for any young kid at Liverpool. I'd be there for all of them. He knows where I am. But Curtis is a kid who he won't think he needs to chat to people. He's got that confidence and that aura that he knows he's a good player in the right way. He's confident and cocky in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows we've got that relationship where I'd always be there for him. I see him quite a bit around Anfield when I'm at the games, which is nice. But I love watching him when he's in this form that he's in now.
Absolutely. Just a couple more on Curtis. And in terms of his potential ceiling, you know, how far do you think he can go? Because he's done so much in the game, but obviously he'll have desires to do. You know, how far do you think he can go potentially?
Well, listen, he can go as far as he wants to go in terms of what he's got. Because if you look at what you need to be a top player at Premier League level, he's got the profile, he's got the physical capacity, he's got the technical ability. For me, he's got the attitude and the mentality you need. So he's got all the tools. If I can spin this question around of what would I be thinking if I was in his shoes, is I would be thinking I want to captain a Liverpool Football Club. That would be a big, big challenge and aim if I was him. Because I had that when I was younger. I was thinking, I want to be the main man in this team. I want to captain and lead this team. I want to lift trophies for this football club. I'm a local boy. And then the icing on the cake and the bonus for me was always to be recognised from a national point of view to be one of the best players in the country. That should be in Curtis's thinking. England for me was always a bonus and the icing on the cake and a reward for what I'd done at Liverpool. Liverpool was the priority because, you know, Liverpool changed my life. That's what it should be, my priority and my main thing. And it should be Curtis's. But he should be thinking to himself, I'm at a fantastic age here. I've got it all out in front of me. I want to become Liverpool, one of Liverpool's best players. I want to be the leader of this team and I want to go on and play for England. That should be in his thinking.
How nice is it generally when you see not just Curtis but other players that you've worked with, you know, playing professionally, like you say?
I love it. Nico, I watched Liverpool beat Nottingham Forest the other week and he scored at Anfield and he didn't celebrate and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what type of kid you are.
Yeah.
He's humble. He used to travel in most days from Wales. Great kid, great to work with. I knew he was going to play at first team level for Liverpool and have a fantastic career. The buzz and the feeling you get, how proud you are of these kids just by working with them for 18 months, but it's not a key part, it's a small part because they'll have worked with dozens of coaches that have helped them develop and grow and become the professionals they are today. But I always wonder, even the ones that I don't see much, what are they doing, what are they up to? Because you get a connection and a relationship with these boys, you become to love them because you see what they do for you as a coach on the pitch and they run through walls for you and they fight for you and it's a boss feeling.
I mean, because not everyone can play for Liverpool, unfortunately, but you can be a footballer and what a life that is. And even you see someone like Liam Coyle who's doing really well at Accrington and loving it and it's great.
And he was my captain because he was professional, he was selfless, he was really respected in amongst the group. He'd run through that wall for you if you'd asked him to. Local boy. And that this is the thing with academies. Not everyone plays for Liverpool. The stats will tell you that. And it's unrealistic to think they're all going to play for Liverpool. They're all given the opportunity. And then it's over to you. But the best job in the world, if you love football, is to be a professional footballer. And if you're at Liverpool from a certain age up till there, you should be preparing yourself to earn a career in the game. Because there's loads of levels where you can have a good career, enjoy your job on a daily basis, and it's never work, is it, if you're enjoying
it? You say it's the best job in the world, but I can see how much you love coaching as well. When you talk about it, the passion for developing them.
I love watching football. I love seeing youngsters get there. I love seeing them come through. I'm an academy lad myself. I've had that feeling, that experience and that buzz, and I've seen my family have the journey and the adventure. So to see other kids do it for Liverpool or whoever, if I've worked with them or even other kids, I love seeing kids get there because it's some buzz, let me tell you.
Just finally then, we're all hoping that Curtis, because he's developing, that he's in the team next year, but obviously the main thing is that Liverpool are successful next season. How are you feeling about it going into next year?
I'm excited, I'm upbeat. I think it's a real opportunity for us to reset. We've finished the season in strong form. So we know we're a good team. I think if we can get the right additions and everyone can reset, real strong pre-season, I think we'll be in with a shout again in all the competitions next year. I'm excited. And just going back to Curtis, the message to him is you won't be given that shirt next year. You'll have probably a 4 or 5 week pre-season to win it again. And that's the challenge that you set every day at Liverpool. The shirt's not given to you, you've got to earn it.
Stephen. Top man, really appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Anytime, no problem. Sports Social Podcast Network.